Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
I didn't want nobody else. I wanted the Bears. I'd rather play the Bears first.
I definitely wanted to play the Bears. We get a chance to put the Bears season to bed.
Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Baby.
I'm not saying we're going to go out there and play dirty or nothing like that, but we definitely going to defend our brothers.
We are not going to be done, so I will see you guys next week.
We took a trip, now we on your block, and it's like a ghost town.
There's probably a little bit more noise coming out of their building up north, which we heard loud and clear.
Where did these be at when they said they're doing all this now?
In the pocket, fires, touchdown! Olamide Zaccheaus into the end zone.
Do you feel the shaking a little bit?
I do. I've got 31 games in the stadium. It's the first time I feel it shaking like this. I mean, I covered an earthquake in San Francisco, but this has nothing to do with an earthquake.
There was a lot of talking this week. You know what I mean? Like, and not even just today, like throughout the week, like we heard the noise and all the guys talking. Man, just a hell of a win for the city.
Williams throwing, and it's caught for the touchdown by DJ Moore. Forget about the clock. Just take the lead when you can. 31-27 here. It's a tale of two cities and a tale of two halves. Who could have figured this at halftime?
This is absolutely unbelievable.
Bears have erased an 18-point deficit.
Oh, yeah, they was talking. They was begging. I mean, that was all bulletin material, really. That didn't motivate us, but it kind of, you know, when they were talking, it kind of like, all right, we got to turn it up. So.
Hearts beating furiously. Look, looking. One last gasp. Moving guys around. Fires to the end zone, and it is broken up. The Bears win it in a crazy one.
They wanted us. That's what I heard. They wanted in. They got it.
And the Chicago Bears have advanced 31-27. Another gut-wrenching loss for the Packers in Chicago. My goodness.
Cheese grater.
This is what rivalries are made of.
That's it.
Well, obviously, this one is going to hurt for a really, really long time.
I know that they at the crib going crazy down bad. What they had didn't last, damn, baby. Sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
This is one that you'll never forget.
Yes, sir.
This is one you'll never forget, all right?
An unbelievable way for the Packers to end the season again. So disappointing.
Good, better, best.
Good, better, best.
Never let it rest.
Never let it rest.
You're going to get better.
You're going to get better.
You better get better.
You better get better.
Three, one, two, three,
Bears! I'm tired. I'm ready to go home and go to sleep. The Bears. Thank you, everybody.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
If you're just jumping into your car, you're leaving work with a smile on your face. If you're sitting in your cubicle with a smile on your face. If you're sitting at the crib with the kids with a smile on your face. We are happy that we were your choice to share that smile with today. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We got you for another hour. There's still a lot for us to discuss. The show has already been off the rails today. Freddie Gibbs, so dope to have him on the show. And for those of you who are not familiar, I didn't mention this to Freddie because I didn't want to seem like a stan, but Skinny Shug off of the Alfredo album, Alchemist, my God, he produced the hell out of that album. And that is one of my like vibe setters. It is one of the songs that I go to set the vibe if I just want to be in ridiculous chill mode. The fact that Freddie Gibbs was on the show today is wild.
Right? That's awesome. I love that for you and for Tanny. And for all the listeners.
That, and for Alex that did the work,
absolutely.
Man. Big time. That's big time stuff, Alex.
But I know how much you guys were feeling it and so many of the listeners feeling it today. A texter said, this show today, every segment has been a different perspective. The game, Bears fans, Packers broadcast, the feel and vibe with Freddie on who was there, the national broadcast. Very nice job by the show. Glad you're feeling that. It's the way we try to think about it, is to give you a different taste, like in every segment, if we can, on how it was. And right now, we want to focus on Caleb Williams' excellence because the quarterback is so damn clutch. And you can look at the numbers, but trust yourself when you watch the game. We're going to focus on one big play in a second. But go back and watch the second half if you want, if you haven't. I did on Sunday morning, and it was so much fun.
11 explosive plays in the fourth quarter, the most ever in an NFL playoff game.
I think that's the whole second half. Actually, the
second half,
but either way,
sorry, second half,
it's all good. But like, yeah, the number of explosives is insane. But Lawrence, for us and for the listeners who've broken down every decision and been like, well, on this one, Caleb, I wish he would just take the check down. Or on this one, why can't he just move a little bit and throw off a new platform instead of doing this? Why doesn't he just take the free cheese, take the 6 yards, take the 7 yards? Why doesn't he scramble for the first down? He did every one of those things at a different time. Literally, I have them all written down. Each play, he did every one of those things amongst those three different touchdown drives that were 2.5 minutes at most. And he led three different drives, and you see him shuffle to his right, great touch to Loveland. You see a bullet to Loveland. You see another touch pass to Loveland. You see him take six to Smythe. No negative plays from Caleb Williams. A scramble for 11 on a swift screen that he has to decide to reverse. Caleb is out there trying to block. You see Caleb shuffle to his left and hit Rome Odunze, who's on the ground with a great ball. Loveland for 7. And then here you are, 4th and 8. 4th and 8 after a Drew Dahlman false start that actually saves them, because if it had just been a bad snap and not a bad snap and a false start, the game is over. But it's 4th and 8. And Caleb Williams, well, you're down 11, needs to make a play. And this is what it sounded like on Amazon Prime.
So it's 4th down and 8. As they get to the Green Bay 49, Williams chased, throws, and it's caught at the 30-yard line. Rome Odunze on a 4th and 8. Keeps it going.
I mean, are you kidding me? This is why when Caleb Williams was coming out of USC, it was plays like this that made everybody go, this guy is just one of one as far as his abilities. Think about what's at stake. It's 4th down. Game is over, and he throws it up and over the defender right into the hands of Odunze. Odunze, by the way, came all the way from the right side. He had lined from the right side, came all the way over, saw his quarterback scrambling, gave him the hand to say, hey, I'm going over here. And the two have that chemistry. They connect on that big play. Keeps their hopes alive.
It's too bad, Tanny, you didn't roll on Wayne Larrivee and John Kuhn on the Packers broadcast.
Oh, wait a minute. You did?
Oh.
4th and 8 out of the shotgun. Here's the snap. Back to throw. Looking. Still looking. Williams scrambling left. Throws it down the left side. And he's got Rome Odunze all down 30-yard line of Green Bay between 3 Packers defenders, Nixon, McKinney, and Quay Walker. Wow. A 4th down bailout of 27 yards.
And that's the thing about Caleb Williams. We've seen him miss throws, but he was getting hit by Isaiah McDuffie, and he threaded the needle on that one.
Yeah, he did.
When you talk about the Chicago Bears on offense, Caleb Williams, he had a 4th down and 8 throw, getting hit, put it on the money in the corner. That throw is just a 1 in 100, and he made it right there. So credit to Caleb Williams for making that play to just extend the game, not just win the football game. And unfortunate for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, very unfortunate. What a way to end the season.
These cuts are just curiously edited.
Very unfortunate for you guys, maybe.
I love that Caleb is now, like, they've made him a meme, the Jumpman meme.
Oh, it looks just like Jordan.
Yes.
If you pause it in a moment, it looks just like the Jordan Jumpman.
That's Chicagoing, too.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Here's the thing. Both his feet are off the ground when that ball leaves his hand.
You're not supposed to be able to generate that type of power or touch.
You know what it reminds me of?
When your feet aren't on the ground.
Both feet. It's like a Frank Thomas home run swing. When the feet were not touching the ground, you're like, how is Frank getting that power? That is not possible. Caleb is not supposed to be able to make that throw. Unbelievable.
But he keeps making them.
Because he's got something very special about him. That's an incredible ball. Here's Caleb talking about that play. That's all right. And here's the thing. Here's DJ Moore while we think about this. Here's DJ Moore talking about Caleb late in games, what DJ believes.
What do you say about the way Caleb comes through in the clutch again, especially like the throw to you, the throw to Rome where he's off balance?
I mean, shoot, when the lights are bright, he's brighter than them lights out there today. because on that last touchdown, them lights was bright in my eyes and hard to see. But, yeah, he's just like a bright spot when it comes down to it.
Caleb being that bright. Yeah, he said it a different way to Stacey Dales on NFL Network. He said he's the brightest thing on the field, even when the lights are bright. That's your teammate. That's the vet. Man, here's Caleb talking about the play.
We ended up having like a looper or a blitzer. I haven't obviously gone back and watched it yet. And he ended up breaking through, and I felt the edge. I could have got around, and I knew where the play was going. And so I wanted to go in that direction with Rome, and just didn't have enough time to be able to sit there and throw a ball in the pocket. And wanted to go in that direction because, you know, I saw the space before when I was dropping back. And so, I went in that direction. And honestly, just understand it's fourth down. I gotta put the ball in play. Rome went and made a great catch, adjusting to the ball. I threw him upfield. I think 25 was trailing him. And so, put it upfield a little bit. It creates an awkward angle for him and makes it a little bit easier to catch for Rome.
So here's Rome talking about the throw from his perspective.
I mean, the best throw until he makes the next best throw, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can say that every week with this dude, man. He's a spectacular talent. Super happy to be his teammate and watch him thrive out there. So, like he kind of said, we're not finished. We have more to accomplish, so excited to keep going with 18.
And then here's what you got to know is that Cole Kmet said this, but Kevin Byard says it as well. Here's Kevin Byard about that throw in Caleb in late games.
We're called the Cardiac Bears for a reason. I mean, Caleb did it again. The offense.
What do you make of the offensive job by Caleb Williams and that final touchdown to DJ Moore?
So we call him Iceman. He lives for these situations. To be down, to be able to make a play at the end of the game. I mean, he's just making things happen. I mean, the throw he made to Rome on the run, I mean, I wouldn't want nobody else to be my quarterback.
Want nobody else to be my quarterback. And Kevin Byard and Cole Kmet after the game both said that's when they knew they were going to win. That right there, when he makes the play on fourth and eighth, they're like, oh, okay, I get it now. We got a guy who's doing that. We are not dead. Our drive goes on. This is before the Zacchaeus touchdown that brings them closer and before the stop and before the DJ Moore touchdown that gives them the lead. When he gets the fourth and eight, they're like, oh, all right, I get it. So they believe, man. They just believe.
There's no reason for them not to. He's done this six times before. Like, honestly, the part that scares you is don't count on that. And it'd be nice when the Bears get to a place where they're not counting on that. But the fact that you have one of those, that you have a guy that is a force multiplier and can put pressure on the defense because of all the things that he can do. And you mentioned all the different things that he did. What I've found interesting, and I'll go back and look at it over the next few days, is that when I'm watching Caleb now, the run element is still there, but I think that he's gotten to the place, he's gotten to the Russell Wilson place where it's, I'll run if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And if we got to have it and I can get it, I'll go get it. But what I'm doing is I'm moving around to move you around. And once you move around and windows open up, then I'm going to make the throw.
That is 100% correct. And you remember early in the year when you and I would talk about it, he always seems to do that orbit scramble. Whether it's right or left, he would get away and then get all the way to the sideline and try to make something happen. Now he's doing the thing where he shuffles a little bit to one side. And then as soon as he sees the possibility, he throws it with touch while he's in the middle of the scramble. He's not like going to a spot and then seeing what he can do. That changes everything. That's more like what Lamar does. That's more like what Josh Allen does, what Mahomes does. He's looking more like those guys now, throwing from new platforms at a moment's notice.
And because he can generate torque, it changes the way that if you're a defender, it's like, okay, there aren't too many parts of the field, even on the run, that he can't hit. And so it forces you to do stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily do. It might force you to turn and run instead of playing in a space because you're like, you know what? He can make that shot. And now I have to go defend that shot that he's getting ready to take. And I've listened to defenders. Max Crosby has talked about it. Micah Parsons warned everybody on Twitter It's almost like they should have had him down in the locker room. Because at halftime, he was like, hey, they're really good at coming back. So maybe, you know, finish the job. But for defenders, it's got to be so frustrating. And I think that what we'll see defenders do, the ones that are close and it's hard to fight your instincts, don't try to block the pass. You've got to take a straight line to them and just try to get them. Because once you do the thing where you put your hands up, he's going to be like, oh, all right, and go around you and then make a throw that you've never seen before.
Matt LaFleur said after the game that he's a guy that's tough to contain. The whole plan was to try to especially eliminate his ability to go right. That's what he likes to do.
Congratulations. You sent him left and he made the throw of his life.
Correct. And don't forget that after that 4th and 8, they have a 3rd and 10 on the same drive. And he stayed super calm and checked it down. On 3rd and 10, he checked it down to Menungai, who turned around and ran for the first down. I mean, would he have gone for a check down on 3rd and 10 2.5 months ago? I don't think so. You remember all the negative plays that he used to make happen? I remember, Tanny, you remember when Tom Brady talked about like the one lesson that he got from Belichick? He's like, I think we played it in training camp.
Yeah.
Brady was on with Coward.
We played it during, you know, Justin Fields era, just any era of quarterback play around here.
Don't take a negative play. Just don't take a negative play. Keep the sticks moving. Don't get behind the sticks. And Caleb, again and again, in those three drives, you look at the play-by-play, 5 yards, 6 yards, 4 yards, throwing it away, dirting the ball, did not take negative plays.
To speak to what you're saying about what he was 3 months ago, 2.5 months ago, trust works both ways. He knows now that there are guys that can make plays for him. He's seen dump offs to Menungai go for 12 yards when they needed 6. He's seen DeAndre Swift turn dump offs into touchdowns. He's seen Colston Loveland turn some of those desperation plays into, you know, flash plays. Like, he's seen all of this stuff now. And so if you're Caleb, you're probably in a place finally as an NFL quarterback where you don't feel alone, where you can do all of the cool stuff and know that your guys are going to make plays to you. There's an elevation that's happening because of his ability.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And he got a game ball.
Yeah, about that?
Not only did he get a game ball, he gave a long, somewhat awkward speech.
He's still learning that part of it.
It's
okay.
He's just quirky, man.
It's okay.
Of course it is. He's him. He's who he is.
Well, you saw him when he didn't know the cameras were rolling on the sideline when he was demanding accountability from his teammates.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, once he knew the cameras were on him in the locker room, it was a little different. So I care more about the real life guy, you know?
And I care about how the teammates take to him and how the coaches take to him.
And they probably know. They know that they're getting a guy that can lead and knows how to lead. But when it comes to the stuff that we romanticize and put in movies,
hey man,
he's still figuring that part of it out.
He's absolutely still figuring that part of it out. And he's just got what it takes. You read the Seth Wickersham book about Caleb, or about all the young quarterbacks that had the Caleb stuff. Seth Wickersham retweeted a page of his book. And it's worth finding the whole thing because it's talking about how Caleb was always a precocious, slow starter. So somebody who knows a lot, is clearly good, but is also a slow starter. So he gets in these positions where he's super young, and he starts slow, and you worry, and then he's great in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Going back to high school, when he's a sophomore in high school, they're down 20-0 in the state championship game, and he leads them all the way back and was brilliant in the fourth quarter. And this has always been who he is. That sometimes he'll start slow and he'll scare you and freak you out. And then late, he's just freaking money. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. This is a good time. And I know that we haven't officially turned the page, and nor will we for a few more days, but I'm so looking forward to Stafford, McVay, Ben, Caleb. That chess match between guys that are playing high-level football right now. and coaching high level football right now.
Two of the three best play callers in the NFL. Those two in McVay. Those two in Shanahan. Is that the three best?
And look,
I think so.
I think Mike McDaniel, also great play caller, maybe doesn't have everything that he needs at the quarterback position. I am terrified of him
in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a tough mix.
You give him Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jahmyr Gibbs.
And David Montgomery.
That's terrifying to me. But whatever, that's for September. We can talk about that later on in this thing. But watching these guys play and watching Matthew Stafford, who is just in, you talk about full space command.
Yeah.
Of quarterbacking.
Oh, yeah.
He's in full space command.
Any throw you want at any time from any spot.
Any angle. It's weird because he's stationary, but he's still doing all the arm angle stuff.
Yeah.
Wrapping the ball over, like the stuff that we see Caleb do, but he's doing it at, 6'4" and can't move.
It's one of Caleb's guys.
Of course it is.
Loves him.
Of course. Like, Uskins, that's part of the reason that I'm so interested in this.
Sound like a guy who wants to turn the page. I don't know about you guys. I'm enjoying, this game. Lawrence just wants to move on.
I don't want to move on. I just know what awaits us on the next page. You know how, you choose your adventure? I'm like, yeah.
I heard his fingers bothering him a little bit, and it's cold. It's going to be really cold.
He hit helmets a couple of times towards the end of that game.
I'd just let Garoppolo play if I was Matthew. I mean, you've had a great career. Let Jimmy get in there. Jimmy's new in town.
Jimmy likes Elaine.
Why not, Matthew? Leave
Seinfeld reference.
That's exactly right, Casper. Whatever.
Why don't we take a break? When we come back, let's go back to Ben and let's talk about Ben. Because there was some stuff inside the game where you're like, what's Ben doing?
Uh-huh.
And then it turned around. And there's a couple of reasons that it turned around. And we should walk through that too. That's next here on The Score.
Well, analytics would say to punt here. And if and Ben Johnson's trumping analytics right now with a 4th and 4. From his own 32, and he's going to go for this.
If they snap it, for 4th and 4.
This shows you, again, the respect that he has for what Love and this Packers defense is capable of tonight. Or the offense, rather.
Huge play, if they indeed go for it. They do indeed. It's juggled, and then it's tipped, and it's incomplete. It's a major gamble. And he lost it.
Early on in that game, you're looking around going, hey, man, how nervous are you about this game and their offense? Because you seem to be doing some stuff that feels a little reckless.
4th down on the 32.
The first one, I was like, I totally understand what you're trying to do. This one, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that seemed like either panic or desperation.
Bears panic.
Or either way, and with either of those, whether it's panic or desperation, it seemed like a full-on admission that you don't believe your defense can stop them.
That they were ahead of you, and there was nothing that you were going to be able to do about it. Him being as open about that at halftime, I thought was interesting, too.
Me too. He was asked at halftime, he's like, well, we'd have to maximize our possessions because that's a very good offense we're going against, which is another way of saying our defense sucks ass, and we don't think we can stop them.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score? This is the part where I tell you that in years past, whenever we have done this contest, it wasn't possible for your team to be in the game that's going to be broadcast here on The Score. This year, it's possible that your team could be on The Score playing a football game of very, very much importance, and your commercial could run. This is my favorite thing that we do here at The Score for you. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 18th. It's The Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One.
Let's live in that moment And let's go around the room. And I told you what some people thought it was. I want to know what you guys thought it was in that moment. Was it panic? Was it desperation? Was it also an admission of what the defense can and cannot do? Was it something more than that from a coach who is, we lovingly call him, I think you like to say, he's a crazy person, a little bit. I think to
and
me,
I love him for it.
Right. And I always think of Mitch talking to whatever contestant that was. I don't know. You're kind of a wackadoodle. Like, our superstar head coach is kind of a wackadoodle. And
I don't know where you're calling from, Black, but yeah.
When you said the phrase wackadoodle to Freddie Gibbs, I was like, what are we doing here? Yeah, the show could have gone in a different direction after
that. I know. But
you're kind of a wackadoodle. I don't know where you're going.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where you're going. He's kind of a wackadoodle. But he's a superstar just the same. Like, do you need, is that his same stuff that makes you laugh, makes you cry kind of thing? That's what I think.
Yes, I'm with you on that. I think there's going to be some of that. And I know that because of his impact that he's had, and I don't know if anyone has had an impact like this in year one, it is still year one. All of this stuff that he has to juggle, all of this is a learning process for him too.
Yeah.
So now he has more data to add to the things that he uses to try and make decisions.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. I also think because it's year one, there are some times where he might, and he's been open about this, might regret something a little bit. Now, he didn't say he regretted that, you know, at halftime or otherwise, didn't say he regretted that, but... You know, when you have all the emotion in you, it can drive you as long as you control it. And I felt like that was a moment where maybe his desire got away from him. Tanny, Alex, where were you guys?
Exactly what I thought. I thought his emotions got the best of him. That the whole lead up to that game, the emotions were overwhelming. And it felt like, honestly, like when you're playing Madden and you're just getting your butt whooped, you know, so I've been told, it's never happened to me. But you do something like that, you go for it on fourth down in your own territory, and then you don't convert, and that's when you shut the game off. You know, that it felt like that type of moment from Ben Johnson. I thought that was an emotional decision from a very smart guy who we also know, though, is very passionate, very emotional.
I think he just got tired of his team starting slow and saw that the Packers were the way they were going in the first half. It didn't matter where they were going to start on the field. They were going to score. And he's like, well, if we get stopped here, our red zone defense, that's what we hang our hat on. Well, maybe we'll limit them to a field goal at this point. But I think that's that feeling of helplessness as a play caller when your offensive play caller, when your defense can't stop anybody. And that's what we saw in that first half.
And we've seen our share of passive aggressive things around these parts over the years. It felt like a passive aggressive move towards Dennis Allen.
Yeah, like, change something up, buddy.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's funny because you're not the only one to think that. And to feel like, oh boy, Dennis Allen's being so stubborn, playing all this man-to-man in the first half, and Ben is doing that. Is that a passive-aggressive move? Are we looking at a new defensive coordinator next year? Like, is there a disconnect we don't know about with this thing? All of that, what's going on. I think Dennis Allen was playing man so much, in part because he likes it, but also because he has to, in trying to generate pressure, they can't really get pressure from the front four. So he's like trying to show you blitzes and
guys are coming from different angles.
Yeah.
You're trying to mess with Jordan Love a little bit. And then the Bears were successful at that in the second half.
Well, that's because he called better blitzes and was more aggressive with the blitzes. But I think even when he doesn't bring them, like he was in the first half, he still plays man behind it. And I think he still does it too much. But whatever he was doing in the second half, getting much more aggressive, worked really, really well. The fourth down I didn't like from Ben was the fourth and one where they ended up with the second interception. The fourth and one where it got blown up by a pass rusher right up the gut, and it's fourth and one.
The only thing that Caleb can do to try to make a play at that point is back up and throw it up.
Throw
and
it
wish,
up in the air.
And
throw
wish. It up in the air. Because, like, I didn't get mad at him at all for that, because you've got no chance. Like, that's a play the defense has won, and you could take the sack. The mistake is actually to intercept that ball. You gave up field position by intercepting the ball, but I get it. The ball is coming your way. You catch it. You try to make a return, but he's got no chance. So put it up there and see if one of your guys can miraculously make a play.
Didn't Jordan Love make a whole bunch of plays on third and short or fourth and short where they would throw the ball? Because if you can really trust your pass game, you can get an opportunity on third and short and fourth and short down the field, and you can make a play. LaFleur does it all the time.
I think Ben
falls for that as well.
They did it. Like, that's the crazy part to me about the last drive, for the last couple of drives for the Packers. Not the golden touchdown, but it felt like, what were you doing? Like, you weren't churning the clock. You were going for like home run balls instead of some of the success that you had moving down the field and using your athletes to get some run after the catch. It was bizarre.
You could not be more on it. Mike Sando at The Athletic talked to some opposing coaches and GMs about Matt LaFleur. And here's what they had to say about Matt LaFleur's play calling in those situations when they should be running a 4-minute offense, okay? Trying to grind out the clock and hold on to a lead. Quote, "The smugness of playing your regular offense with huge air yard plays in a 4-minute situation. Of course you're not going to have the clock moving. They're trying to score an explosive touchdown. Who does that?" That's a coach of another team to Mike Sando. Three passes on that drive traveled at least 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. They ran outbreaking routes, perimeter routes, which risked players running out of bounds. "Where is the ball control?" said a coach. "Where's the short passing game? Where are the angle routes?" And here's the thing. The clock stopped on that drive after six consecutive plays, including twice when the Bears called timeouts.
That's killer.
So twice as timeouts. But four other plays, the clock stopped because of incompletions or guys going out of bounds. And Matt LaFleur gave the ball back to Caleb Williams with all that time, and they went down and scored. Like, what are you? And so, man, there's people thinking that Matt LaFleur does not know what the hell he's doing. This last nugget from Sando: LaFleur has had five games in the playoffs as a betting favorite. He's 2-3 in those five games.
I think there is ample reason to fire him. I really do. I think it's, when you look at the rest of the division, and I understand he is, I think that Matt LaFleur is a good coach. I want to make sure that that's on the record. But I think that the way this team went in the tank after Micah Parsons, when, remember, the Packers were a team that was thought well of before they even made the trade for Micah Parsons.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So it's not like he was the only reason why they were successful. You lose five in a row. You lose to your rivals. You kind of lost command of your locker room heading into the game because they did something that clearly sparked the Bears.
Talking all that ish.
Mm-hmm.
You either lost command or you advised them to do it.
To do it, and it backfired.
Yep.
And when you look at the other three teams passing up the Packers, I would understand anyone at the Packers being like, you know what? We need a different voice in here.
I get all of that.
I don't think they're going to.
I know.
But I think they're going to sign him to an extension. And I'm okay with that. You know, it's just,
I mean,
I would understand why if they fired him.
You dream of an offensive-minded head coach who's a good play caller, you know, clicking with a quarterback.
And they seem to click.
They seem to have that.
Except in some pretty big moments, they stop clicking. The other teams have been able to make them stop clicking.
That's true.
And that's what you're getting paid for as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. That's what the expectation has been,
man,
over the last 30 years.
It's fascinating. There's more stuff to break down.
Yeah, me and Big Ann will do that tomorrow.
Wednesday is both my wife and my son's birthday. I lovingly call it Hell Week. Lovingly. So I've got a
that love came across when he said that.
Yeah, I'll be out today, tomorrow, and the next day. I want to say thank you to everybody who reached out after I had a chance to do the post game thing on Fox on Saturday night. It's crazy, man. The reach of a television station.
Like, I'm convinced that millions of people watched you.
I heard from people in every walk of life that I have ever had, like from 20 years ago when I was working at, you know, Armitage Hardware, you know, like all kinds of stuff. People from bands that I haven't played with or played in 25 years. Like, it's crazy.
Tanny, are we going to find out that he never worked at Armitage Hardware?
Ooh, Spiegel and Holmes find out.
I did. Damn right I did. I used to know how to
do stuff.
No, I knew where. I knew what aisle you needed to go in.
That's
to
very,
get the stuff.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, keep. Yeah, we'll see. Sounds like someone's never worked at a place that doesn't exist. Kaiser Soze Spiegel. We have to dethrone Amy Poehler podcast of the year after our investigative work on this one.
when I was in a barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois. That's right.
Is that a thing that happened, or are you just making stuff up?
No, that was I went Usual Suspects reference.
Oh, my bad. There.
It's all good. It's all good. We don't have to get everything, but we get anything. Oh, I tried to make that cool. It didn't work.
It didn't work, but that's okay. We got something that does work. Damn coming it. Up next. You want to know what it is?
Yeah, what is it?
Sad Packer content creators.
Bring it.
It's next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
We felt like if we can just keep taking them down to deep water, they'll find out they can't swim.
Lawrence, I'm kind of amazed how many people do their own little version of play-by-play as they watch football on Twitch, and then people watch them do that. People hang out with them and do that.
Well, people watch folks play video games on Twitch too.
Yes, they do.
You know, like people watch us do a radio show on Twitch.
Yeah, no,
hello everyone.
Well, absolutely.
Hello everyone who's watching on YouTube too. We appreciate that.
Hello, mob and more. No, it's true. But man, after every time the Bears beat the Packers, we get a new collection of Packer fan streamers who are unhappy.
There's part of me that now wonders like how much of this is performative and how much of it is real.
Like they know they're gonna get they're gonna get memed up if they're if they're bad.
Yeah, like if they like lose it, and then I'm gonna destroy my TV, and I'm gonna take this keyboard and crack it over my knee, and that'll get me the streams I need. Like I wonder if there's a cottage industry of that's going on. Either way, it was still fun to see it play out.
I don't know. I watched the video, the 10-minute compilation. They seem upset.
Yeah, because I've been watching these guys' content for the past week and a half, you know, where they're doing their actual shows, talking about why the Bears are going to lose, like, and giving real reasons. So these people are committed to this.
Okay.
So,
all right. But Alex, you watched the 10-minute compilation.
I did.
I did, too. It's awesome.
First one was 5. This time they doubled it. Whoever made it. Thank you to whoever made it.
Should we hear some?
Yeah, this is from at the Chicago Sayers on Twitter. I don't know if she's the one that actually produced it, but I would think so. It's got 1.2 million views. Here's just a little condensed version of the ending of that Bears-Packers game.
This is a game because you've made it a game. It's a game because you've made it a game. 4th and 8. This seems like it's for the game. This seems like it's to move on in the playoffs. Empty. Williams dropping back. Pressure. Finally, McDuffie hits as he throws. Wow.
You're kidding me. How do you let that up? Oh, they had it, man.
Back to throw. Rush. Throw over middle. Touchdown. Wow, he made that look so easy.
Caleb in the gun takes the snap. Heavy pressure up the middle. Wide open Loveland for a first down. I mean, I could just add that to the soundboard. Wide open Loveland for a first down. I just keep clicking that button because that's all it's been.
They want the end zone. 25-yard line. Trips left. Bunch. Williams. Pump fake. More. Touchdown. Green Bay's down. Bears take the lead.
Oh, my God.
Green Bay blows it. I cannot believe it.
I believe this.
I cannot believe it.
He has to tell you again.
All right. Now it's up to Jordan Love and the offense. Scored too quickly. I'm glad you're happy, Bears fans, but you scored too quickly.
Dine on these tears, y'all.
10 seconds of the play clock as you're coming to the line.
Please. Jordan, empty.
Empty. 4, 3, 2, 1. We got a penalty?
Nope. Delay of game.
All right, just giving us more room to operate. That's all right. It's all right. Just gives Jordan a little bit further to throw.
Copium.
2nd and 15. Love takes the snap and is going to get hit as he throws, and it's going to bounce out of bounds.
You got one chance. Your season comes down to right here.
Jordan.
Oh my God! Fumbled snap.
Bad snap.
Throw it.
Nope. Last play of the game. Love scrambling. Love resetting. Love throws it.
That's going to be incomplete. That's the game, and that's the season. Bad snap because you're down to your third, fourth string center.
And it's dropped. Game over. Season over. Packers blow it. $55 million a year.
I love this text. We getting drunk on tears from up north.
Oh, we really are.
There's 10 that's minutes of that, guys.
That's amazing. I believe that's the Mozart Requiem that's being used there, that exquisite, sad piece of classical music.
It's really cool. Like that video mashup there, it's actually going to be part of the Criterion Collection, which I think it's really fitting.
That's a fun movie.
Yeah, Daniel Norris loves that.
So when is John Coon coming down here to host?
Oh, man. That's a great call.
The old retroactive, you know,
John,
bet payoff.
We forgot to tell you what the bet was.
Lawrence will figure it out.
We had decided.
I did figure it out.
I'm not blaming you, Lawrence. Speaks.
I absolutely figured it out.
You did figure it out. That is just remarkable, remarkable stuff. I love how many different aspects of that win, that experience, the game itself, the post game, fan culture on both sides. How many different aspects of it we hit during the course of this show? Alex Kuhn does a great job. Chris Tannehill does a great job. And me and Lawrence hang out and enjoy ourselves.
We do. And we're glad that we got to hang, honestly, like for real. Like we're really happy that we got to hang out with you today. Like there's honestly like no place I would have rather have been today than doing this.
No, this is it. Vibes are elite. This is the stuff. You wait your whole life or career for these kind of moments where the Bears keep going. And now this weekend, we get the Cubs convention with a brand new Bregman to go along with another Bears playoff game.
And what did Nico tell us about a Bears playoff game during Cubs convention? They'll be focused on the Bears game.
Be a lot of people focused on that.
But the Bregman thing is big. At some point this week, we should talk about it, but probably not for a couple of days. Speaks is going to be out. Big Ann Heron is going to join me tomorrow. Wednesday, Carmi V is going to be in the building. So we are going to have ourselves a time while he is dealing with Hell Week.
Happy birthday in advance to wife and child. And thank you to everyone for listening on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday.
Yeah, presented by Busey Bank. By the way, we've got the wild card game tonight. Steelers versus Texans. Coverage starts in a few minutes. Kickoff is at 7:15 on the Score and the Odyssey app. Thanks so much for the love and support you show us every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock here on the Score.
You know, other than that, man, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home and go to sleep. The Bears. Thank you, everybody.